Hello, my friends. Welcome again to the Deeper Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Paul. It's the 25th day of April here in 2024, and we're journeying through the Gospel of Luke. Thank you for joining me, and I want to remind you, if you are late to the party, we've been doing the Gospel of Luke since last fall. The 11th chapter we started in the middle of March. You can sort of scroll back and go from there as we just pretty much move through this every day. Took a week off for Holy Week, but just walking through the stories and the verses. Not exhausting them, but I do speed up and slow down at different paces. Today I'm going to read several verses because I want to put this entire statement by Jesus into its context. From Luke chapter 12, let's read verses 4 to 7. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Now, as I see it, there are a few ways for you to interpret this text. Some of them are very obvious. Some of them are a little less obvious. I don't necessarily mean that because they're less obvious, they're wrong. Okay? In fact, sometimes the less obvious way might be the best way if you take it within the greater context. Now, you might be wondering why I read that entire thing. It seems like the last couple of verses don't go with the first couple. Well, that's perhaps part of the problem, is that sometimes we're just slicing these stories apart instead of taking them as the whole. I read for you the 4 verses that go together. His next phrase is, also I say to you. So that the next set of phrases is an addition to whatever this was. So starting from the top, and this is the most obvious part, this is the part that usually gets set out by itself. Don't be afraid of those who kill the body. After that, they have no more that they can do. I'll show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. The most obvious that people take from this is, don't fear man, fear God. So they'll say, don't fear man, all he can do is kill you. But fear God, because he can send you to hell after you're dead. Now, part of the reason for that interpretation is because we see God as the one who sends people to a post-mortem heaven or hell. And part of the reason for that is because we have the personal pronouns here, him. And the translations like the New King James, and I think the old, have capitalized the H. And so we see it automatically as God, and we make no questions about it. So that seems to me to be one way to interpret it. Another way to interpret it that I've read, put forth from some Bible scholars, that is at least interesting enough to go down that road as far as I can see, is that the word hell is of course not there in the Greek. That word is Gehenna, which was a physical place. I've been there, in fact. A physical place is now a beautiful park, but at the time of Christ it was essentially a trash dump, and a dump for the bodies of the dead, of those who had no place to be buried. And there was a perpetual burning, and the worm never died. The maggots never died in the Valley of Gehenna, the place that has then hence been called hell. Well, the Roman Empire used Gehenna to dump the bodies of those whom they crucified in Jerusalem and around the area that were strangers. The only people that were crucified were strangers, by the way, not Roman citizens. And so strangers and vagabonds, criminals, their bodies were sent into Gehenna. So there's a translation or an interpretation that says, don't be afraid of dying. Fear the one who has power to do more than that to you. Fear the one who has the power to declare you a stranger, declare you an outsider, and cast you into physical Gehenna. So that's sort of a watch out for empire interpretation. But there's also, putting verses 6 and 7 together, Jesus asks, are 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? Not one of them is forgotten. The very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You're of more value than many sparrows. And so, if you take verse 5 and verse 7 and stack them up next to one another, Jesus sounds like he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. In one verse, he says, fear him. In another verse, he says, do not fear, therefore. And so, in that interpretation, it would seem that Jesus is saying, have a healthy fear of God because he holds your eternity. By the way, he also holds you, and therefore you have nothing to fear. Okay, so the one who controls your destiny also controls your day-to-day. And if all you had was him controlling your destiny, that's the one you would fear naturally. But since he controls your day-to-day, like the sparrows taken care of and the hairs of your head numbered, then you have nothing to fear. There's also another way to look at this, and that is that death is the only thing that's safe because you die in verse 4. Don't be afraid of those who kill the body. After that, they have no more that they can do to you. And that hell then, or Gehenna, is really only for those who insist on finding their life outside of the death of Christ. And because of that, nothing's really out of control. Every bird counts. Every hair on your head counts. God has a whole new creation. He made it through his death and his resurrection. So stop assuming that there's anything that you can do to achieve life. You're going to die anyway. Just confess that that death of Christ is all that you need, and he'll do the rest. Remember, later, and we're not there yet, but you know this is coming. In a few verses, he's going to say, everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man is forgiven, but everyone who blasphemes the Holy Spirit's not forgiven. Sort of a way of saying, you can say anything you want against me, but don't knock my methods, because the Holy Spirit is the one trying to bring you in. So don't fight against the one trying to bring you in. And if you do, then you just end up in a place where you create a hell of your own devising. A lot of ways to look at this. The way I like to land for my own walk is you can either fear God in an unhealthy way, or you can realize that he controls your day-to-day and you cannot fear him. But I see such value in some of these other ways of understanding this text, and I hope that you can at least wrestle those out on your own journey. We'll jump into the Confess Christ Before Men from verse 8 tomorrow. See you then. God bless.